This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live, this 14th day of November 2023, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. Turkey has taken an extraordinary measure of cutting Israel off from gas and oil. I have no doubt the Biden administration is going to rush to come to his defense. But remember, Biden came in, the first action he took was to cancel the XL pipeline. He's denied drilling on federal lands. He's really made America energy hungry. We don't have massive surplus. So if he starts sending gas and oil from America to Israel by ship, the skyrocketing, the price of gas here at the pump is going to skyrocket. The American economy is going to be turned inside out. But I have no doubt that's what he's going to do, because Israel is running our government. I pointed out, all the key players are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. Mayorkas, Mellon, Blinken. I mean, they don't give a damn about America. We are just a resource to be used. Many have noticed the statement Bibi Netanyahu made not that long ago, declaring America to be the golden calf, and now they're going to suck us dry and then cut us up into pieces and destroy us, because that's what they do with nations they hate. This is the country for which the United States is sacrificing its own resources, and mark my word, they're going to go for a draft. They're going to try to get American soldiers in there where they've already used, according to best reports I have, 5,000 on an entry into Gaza. They're concealing the casualties because they got badly shot up by Hamas. They got badly shot up. Even Israeli television was expressing a disappointment at the encounter. The Hamas are acting heroically. They are the freedom fighters. The Israelis are the terrorists. Have no doubt about it. Here's a report about what's just happened.
Stunning act of defiance. Turkey has turned its back on decades of cooperation with Israel. Without warning, President Erdogan cut off oil supplies to Israel in retaliation for their support of the controversial new rail and maritime corridor. This aggressive sanction leaves Israel scrambling as tensions in the region reach a boiling point. In response to Turkey's bold move, a group of nations, including the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, have come together to create a groundbreaking rail connection known as the IMIC. This initiative, supported by both the U.S. and the European Union, is set to revolutionize the way goods are transported between Europe and India. Instead of relying on Turkey, the IMIC opts for a sea route, serving as a direct challenge to China's ambitious Belt and Road Initiative, as highlighted by industry experts.
Mind you, now China's not going to be happy with that, but more crucially, the effect on Israel is likely to be immediate. Now, just to illustrate how bad this administration is, Lever reports how Biden has approved an Israeli arms deal despite his own security order. U.S. is supplying the weapons and munitions for Israel's pounding of Gaza, despite a new directive banning arms transfer to human rights violators. Doesn't the Biden administration recognize that human rights are being violated in Gaza? 8 months before the Biden admin approved a massive arm deal for Israel amidst its war in Gaza, President Joe Biden, the imposter, signed a directive prohibiting such deals for countries likely to use the weapons to attack civilian targets or direct violence against children. Last week, multiple news organizations reported the Biden admin approved a $320 million deal for precision-guided bomb equipment for Israel, as Prime Minister Netanyahu's government continues to bombard civilian targets in Gaza. Israeli military siege has reportedly killed more than 10,000 Palestinians, including more than 4,000 children. The Biden admin doesn't give a damn. Why? Because it's completely controlled by Israel. Our hypocrisy, our stunning duplicity and mass murder and genocide is going to be our undoing in the eyes of the world. Bear in mind, here's a report about it from antiwar.com. Israel is daddy to the U.S. Congress. This is a letter written by William S. Dorr to his congressman. I wrote a note to my representative in Congress, William Keating, a Democrat, ranking member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. I expressed my opposition to massive Israeli bombing and massive U.S. aid that facilitates that bombing. Yesterday, I received a form letter in reply that reveals Israel remains the daddy to the U.S. Congress. How so? The letter from Mr. Keating is plain-spoken and direct in its condemnation of Hamas. There is, however, absolutely no criticism of Israel, none. Hamas is pure evil. Israel is a blameless victim, and that's all you need to know, according to the letter signed by Keating. That's right. Not only is that all you need to know, but if you criticize Israel, you're going to be declared to be an anti-Semite. That's how they're playing it now. This is a matter of any criticism of Israel may have nothing to do with their religion, makes you an anti-Semite. Meanwhile, my dear friend Kevin Barrett, who has moved to Morocco, reports Israel can't hide its genocide, and he's absolutely got it right. One of the features that makes this war categorically different than past wars is you can watch it happen on television. You can see the bombing. You can see people being blown apart. You can see the bodies in the rubble. This has never happened before. It's making a staggering difference in the emotional impact. Reading words about bombing is one thing. Seeing it happen is another. It strikes at a far deeper and visceral level, even if it involves a lower level of intellectual or mental ability. Reading is a higher form of intellectual activity than viewing and watching events. But the emotional impact is categorically greater. Here, by the way, is Scott Ritter telling us what's going on. And you want to listen to Scott, in my opinion, he's like the best commentator on what's going on here.
It doesn't take much.
We got a slippage here. I'll try to get the sound up.
I said 1 second, less than a second, because all it takes is just one moment of stupidity, and it's over.
Meaning so, nuclear war.
I called you to do something, you know, the origins of Hamas. From your perspective, how did Hamas come into being?
Well, it's not my perspective. It's what reality is.
Okay.
Starting in 1973, A Sunni religious figure, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, established a center in the Gaza Strip that was affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is a Sunni Islamist movement that has been called a terrorist organization by the Egyptian government. The Syrian government went to war against them in 1982, drove them out of Syria. They've taken refuge in Turkey, et cetera. The center in Gaza was seen as a refuge for the Muslim Brotherhood from the crackdowns taking place against the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, where to be a member of the Muslim Brotherhood became a death sentence. Sometime in the mid-1980s, I can't remember the exact date, 1986, 1987, around there, the Sheikh Yassin's center transitioned into Hamas. Hamas was opposed to the position taken by the Fatah movement of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which was appeared to be willing to enter into discussions with the state of Israel about the creation of a two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli problem. The Hamas position was that Israel didn't have a right to exist and that a Palestinian state should incorporate all of the region of Palestine and that there would be no independent Jewish state. Hamas was opposed to the Oslo Accords signed by Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat, 1993, I think the first one was, 1995 would have been the Oslo II. They carried out terrorist actions designed to deride this. And again, they were in opposition to Fatah. So, you know, they're not part of the mainstream Palestinian movement. There are many people who believe that Hamas's existence was encouraged by the Israelis because, like Hamas, Israel is opposed to the two-state solution, at least certain elements within the Israeli body politic, up to including the prime minister's office, meaning that there's a lot of political pressure placed on Israel to be seen as moving forward with a two-state solution. But if the Israelis could sabotage that, not by being the ones responsible for sabotaging, but by having an outside party, preferably a Palestinian party, sabotage that, takes the political heat off of Israel. So even though, you know, Israel wasn't planning the terrorist attacks and stuff, there's many people who say that Israel benefited from the terrorist attacks of the 1990s because it made implementation of a two-state solution very, very difficult. Yitzhak Rabin, however, worked through this difficulty and, you know, like I said, signed the two Oslo Accords and was moving aggressively forward with a peace plan for Palestine when he was assassinated on November 4th, 1995, by a Benjamin Netanyahu supporter who believes that Benjamin Netanyahu gave the green light for him to kill Yitzhak Rabin. And now we see the beginning of the end of the peace process. Benjamin Netanyahu becomes prime minister. He starts to dismantle the Oslo Accords. And this, of course, only further enrages Hamas, who doubles down on their terrorist actions, et cetera. But the political situation for Israel became very difficult with the settlements, because when Benjamin Netanyahu came in, they instituted a policy of building settlements in Gaza. You know, again, these fanatic Israeli, you know, Zionists were trying to take over Gaza by building settlements, claiming it as part of greater Israel. And the decision was made, of course, that these settlements had to be dismantled, that they become a political impediment for the Israelis. The world was rallying around the cause of the Palestinians. In 2004, the International Court of Justice put out a memorandum based largely upon what the building of the wall, a wall in West Bank, and what's going on in Gaza.
Now, Scott Ritter has so much more to say, but we don't have time for him to say it all here and now. He does believe that Apache warships were used by the Israelis to build up the number of deaths that were caused. In other words, the idea was killing Israelis in order to run up the numbers so Hamas could be accused or held responsible for even more horrific acts in order to strengthen the justification for slaughtering everyone in Gaza. What's happening now? There's anti-war again. Over 50 bodies pulled from rubble at Gaza school, bombed amid Israeli assault. As a death toll from Israel's obliteration of Gaza topped 11,000, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said far too many Palestinians have been killed, while the United States' armed aid to Israel continues. And as he'll say a few words, those are pretty mild words, but we keep sending them the weapons necessary to perpetrate these killings and make the numbers grow and grow and grow. Palestinian civil defense officials said Friday more than 50 bodies were recovered from the rubble of a school in northern Gaza, where civilians were sheltering when it was destroyed during overnight Israeli bombardment. And mind you, they know exactly what they're bombing. They have every section of Gaza mapped out. As a former fire direction officer for the Marine Corps, I tell you, they knew where they were hitting. They knew who they would kill, and they're doing a hell of a job of it. Palestine WAFA news agents report civil defense and ambulance rescue teams removed the blasted and crushed remains of victims from Thursday night missile and artillery strikes on the Al-Burqaq school in the Al-Nasser neighborhood of Gaza City. Outlet said most of those killed were women, children, and elders. No surprise there. Meanwhile, here's an update on deaths from the hospitals. This is Al Jazeera. How are Gaza casualty updates affected by Israeli attacks on hospitals? The hospitals in northern Gaza are under heavy assault by the Israeli military, making it difficult to document casualty figures. The Ministry of Health in Gaza has been struggling to update casualty figures by Israeli forces that have been increasingly targeting hospitals and allied services in the besieged enclave. The United Nations has confirmed that the collapse of services and communication at hospitals in northern Gaza is seriously hampering health officials. Now think about it. They're attacking schools. They're attacking hospitals. They're attacking mosques. They're attacking churches. This is obviously war crimes going on, with great enthusiasm. Meanwhile, the New Arab reports Israeli Minister Avi Dichter says Nakba being rolled out in Gaza. Israeli minister said Israel's ongoing mass forced displacement as Palestinian was a Gaza Nakba 2023. An Israeli minister said Tel Aviv is rolling out a Nakba in the Gaza Strip as more than 1.5 million have been left displaced by Israel's relentless bombardment of the Palestinian territory. In an interview Saturday with Israel N12 channel, Agriculture Minister Avi Dichter was asked about whether the disposition of Gaza's residents was a long-term or temporary objective of Israel's military campaign. It is first and foremost an operational event. We have a huge number of fighters of our own who have to operate in a densely populated area. We need to reduce the number of residents. This is going to result in some sort of Nakba, he added. This is a Gaza Nakba 2023. That's how it'll end. During the live television segment, he repeatedly used the term Nakba, Arabic word for catastrophe, used to describe the expulsion of the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians create the State of Israel in 1948, with no apparent pushback from the program presenters. Actually, because he's speaking the truth. That's what they are about. Meanwhile, we have an additional report now coming from the truth seeker. Israel to deploy specially trained attack dogs to get Hamas fighters in Gaza. Israel is set to deploy a group of specially trained military canines against Hamas fighters hiding beneath the Gaza Strip vast tunnel system. I'll be right back.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
In my opinion, the most important aspects of the Israeli mystique, as you might call it, that have been shattered by this series of events include, first of all, the invulnerability of the IDF. Now, those who follow these events closely know that the Israeli army, rated the fourth most powerful in the world, was defeated by Hezbollah in Lebanon quite a few years ago, but it was defeated. Nevertheless, there's been the impression that Israel is, roughly speaking, invincible. Well, the Hamas attack, which I believe was, in fact, orchestrated by Bibi Netanyahu, shattered that illusion. And whether it was, his idea or not, the fact that the Hamas was credited with taking more territory in a single day than the Ukrainian army in the 4 months of its ill-fated counteroffensive shattered the illusion of invulnerability permanently and forever. Second of all, the fact that the Israelis are acting toward the Palestinians with mass slaughter, the way they claim that the Germans acted toward them as Jews in World War II, has always been it shattered the illusion, the victimhood card, which has been Israel's greatest political strength, because its influence among the Western nations and the United States had been rooted in the Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. Well, those of us who have studied the Holocaust know that it was all a fabrication, that the total who died from all causes combined was 296,081, none of whom died from being put to death in a gas chamber. In fact, as Fred Luchter reported during the trials of Ernst Zundel in Canada in 1988, there was nothing in any of these camps that could have functioned as a gas chamber. There were none. So what's going on now? They're trying to revive, maintain, and build on the myth of the past, which again I say has been shattered. Breaking. IDF discovers Hitler is behind Hamas. Palestinian kids are SS officers. Here's the Israeli Defense Force tweeting. Never again is now. IDF force discovered a copy of Hitler's infamous book, Mein Kampf, translated into Arabic in a child bedroom, used as a Hamas terrorist base in Gaza. The book was discovered among the personal belongings of one of the terrorists, featuring annotations and more. How ridiculous is that? Anyone who wants to know what actually happened regarding the Holocaust, I'm going to give you resources, but Andy Warren picked up on it too. Netanyahu blames Arabs, not Hitler, for the Holocaust. I mean, blaming Arabs for the Holocaust? This is from the Jimmy Dore show. An old video of Benjamin Netanyahu has surfaced, in which the Israeli prime minister alleges that Adolf Hitler had not planned the Nazis' final solution to exterminate Europeans' Jewish population until he was given the suggestion by a Palestinian mufti. He was rightfully raked over the coals for this Nazi whitewashing and attempt to place blame for the Holocaust on Arabs. Just absurd. Well, if you want to do some research, and it falls apart very effortlessly, check out my piece, The Holocaust Narrative, Politics, Trump, Science, which you can find on the government rag, also on my blog at jameshfetzer.org, or to take a deeper look, the official World War II narrative, historical fact or mass illusion, where you can find a photograph of the British soccer team in Auschwitz, and where much more goes on here. A very nice deep dive there, if you can handle it, and frankly, everyone should handle it. Because once you've done the research, you're either a Holocaust denier or a big fat liar. And there are an awful lot out there who are big fat liars. Ironically, and this I find very, very strange, Germany now sides with Jewish Nazis. This is from the Duran. Israel proceeds with its ethnic cleansing to get rid of the inmates. Palestinians were born, living, and now dying in Hamas, in the world's largest open-air prison, Gaza, where millions have been held locked in by Israel for decades, unable to leave, but who now are being bombed to death by Israel, and even their hospitals are being bombed by Israel, so as to prevent their surviving. Israel wants the land, but not the people they've been penning up for decades. During a recent interview with Chris Hedges, one of the greatest war reporters, Chris Hedges' Israel's endgame in Palestine is genocide, includes these passages. I want to put that bombing campaign in perspective. It was in Sarajevo during the war. We're being hit with 300 to 400 shells a day, 4 or 5 dead a day, 2 dozen wounded. The nightmare because of it, much more. But Germany's on the wrong side. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Blaze Media, I think, is showing its true colors because it had a very unflattering photograph of a host, a CNN anchor, Dana Bash, who's trying to get Netanyahu to take personal responsibility for the attack of October 7th. He just brushed it off. Why won't you take responsibility now, she asked Netanyahu. He promptly shut down the question. He told Bash he'll address that after the war. When she pressed harder, he cited America's own history. Did people ask Franklin Roosevelt after Pearl Harbor that question? Did people ask George Bush after the surprise attack of September 11th? He responded, I've said we're going to answer all these questions, including me. I'm going to be asked tough questions. Right now, what we have to do is unite the country for one purpose, to achieve victory. That's what I did. We formed a unity government where the country is united as never before. I think that's what we have to pursue. And what people expect me to do right now is two things, namely achieve this victory, bring the hostages back, and second, assure Gaza never becomes a threat to Israel again. Let me point out, the way you ensure Gaza will never be a threat is Israel again, is to destroy Gaza 100% and annex Gaza and make it part of Israel. Really, that is the plan. And it's ironic he mentioned 9/11 because Bibi Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert, also a prime minister of Israel, planned the 9/11 attack themselves in order to create a rationale for American forces to enter the geopolitically sensitive region of the Middle East and to take out the modern Arab state that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. So bringing up 9/11 is truly insulting. Meanwhile, the U.S. continues to carry out airstrikes in eastern Syria. I strongly suspect that the Israelis are behind the attacks on the American bases because they want again to play America, and we're obliging. Here, antiwar.com. U.S. carries out another round of airstrikes. The Pentagon announced Sunday it launched another round of airstrikes in eastern Syria, targeting a facility used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and Iran-affiliated groups. Remember, 9/11 was intended to end by taking out Syria and Iran, but it didn't get that far because of the intervention of Russia and Iran on behalf of Syria and its democratically elected president, Bashar al-Assad. So 9/11, as Paul Craig Roberts has suggested, is in what's going on now with the Hamas-Israel war is an extension of 9/11 to finish the job. I think Paul Craig Roberts got it exactly right. A very wise fellow. Meanwhile, no more Jewish wars. There are protests at the White House. They are getting fairly numerous that we have these protests, and I think it's a good thing. Let's see what we have here.
No more Jewish war. For years, the Jewish lobby in America has been funding every politician, has been funding every media network, and has been pushing wars. It has cost us trillions of dollars, thousands of lives, and all it has done is destabilize the entire Middle East. White people do not want the blood of the Palestinians on our hands.
I think they got it exactly right. We also have over 100 White House staffers turning on Biden for spreading misinformation. An internal memo reportedly endorsed by more than 100 personnel from the United States Agency for International Development and State Department accuses Biden of spreading misinformation about the Israel-Hamas conflict. The memorandum, compiled by a subordinate State Department diplomat, has expressed strong disapproval of Biden's pro-Israel position on social media. He announces the president's speech of October 10th. There he expresses support for Israel in the wake of the Hamas attack. As documented by Axios, the dissent poses a substantial internal challenge to the Biden admin management of the circumstance, but fails to explicitly identify the misinformation. It suggests Biden's account of events is distorted, as without any doubt it is. Claiming Israel has a right to self-defense is a distortion. Claiming that Israel has the unqualified right to disproportionately slaughter the Palestinians, that's obviously wrong. There's a host of more issues here where the staffers are complaining are 100% right. Here we have some developments. Michigan articles of impeachment filed over the 2020 election fraud. Republicans in the Michigan House have filed articles of impeachment against Attorney General Dana Nessel. The articles relate to the 2020 election fraud Nessel's office covered up. We're filing criminal charge against the 16 alternate Trump electors in a third matter related to a conflict of interest. I like that, even if it's significant, maybe more symbolic than legal. Trump listed on Michigan presidential ballot primary, even though there have been efforts to block him. That's another positive development. Liz Cheney, turns out, help Joe Biden arrest Donald Trump with a sick favor. Liz Cheney is a very nasty piece of work, like her father, Dick Cheney, who is the on-site executive director of 9/11 from a bunker beneath the White House. Rhino former Congresswoman Liz Cheney burned her career to the ground in an effort to drive Trump out of political life. After losing her seat in Congress to a pro-Trump primary challenger, she sits on the verge of an ultimate victory. She helped Joe Biden arrest Donald Trump with a sick favor. when Jack Smith announced criminal charges against Trump this August for contesting the 2020 election, Smith publicly tried to prejudice the jury by blaming Trump for the melee that took place on January 6th, even though Smith never charged Trump for inciting the riot. Smith declared what happened was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy, which Trump allegedly fueled by lies. That's an extraordinary statement accusing Trump of crimes he was not charging him with. We know, as I reported before, American Thinker explained, there was no incitement, there was no insurrection. You can't incite an insurrection if there was no incitement and no insurrection. This is all nonsense, really elaborate bullshit. Meanwhile, Trump got a standing ovation at an event here when he arrived to watch NFC ringside at Madison Square Garden. Report said social media captured the moment when the front runner for the 2024 nomination was received enthusiastically by the cheering UFC 295 crowd. You see, we have the video here. Trump is being very well received around the country. In fact, here's an even more striking case. Republican candidates were humiliated when the debate audience started chanting this one name. And what name do you think it was? Trump, Trump, Trump. Donald Trump did not appear on stage at last week's GOP debate, but he was there in spirit. And Republican candidates were humiliated when the debate audience started chanting this one name. NBC hosts Lester Holt and Kristen Weicker moderated the third primary last Wednesday in Miami. Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott, Chris Christie, Nikki Haley participated. Trump opted to hold his own counter rally down the street. Even though Trump was not there, he was a hot topic of discussion. In fact, the first question of the night went to DeSantis about Trump's absence from the debate. He owes it to you to be on the stage and explain why you should get another chance, DeSantis said. He ripped Trump. Haley echoed, but the audience wasn't buying it. And at a certain point, they began chanting Trump's name. Very, very appropriate, in my opinion. Meanwhile, Paul Greg Roberts has published another piece of considerable moment, The End of the Era of Justice. In the year 2023, justice is nowhere to be found in the Western world. Examples are numerous. I've written about injustices inflicted on Julian Assange, Trump supporters, those forced to submit the COVID vaccine. This time, we'll illustrate the point with a fraud case. You get Trump for allegedly overstaying the value of his real estate holdings, and with the entire world staying aside, the genocide of Palestinians under the rubric of Israel's self-defense. The fraud case against Trump consists of an unsupported allegation against Trump by George Soros discipline disciple, New York Attorney General Letitia Gaines, who's on record as a Trump hater. It's not a trial. There is no jury. The state proceeding is only for the judge to determine how big a fine Trump has to pay for allegedly. No proof is supplied, only Letitia's accusation overstating the value of his holdings. The judge, Ergeron, in my opinion, is indulging his publicly avowed hatred of Trump. It is the judge who should be indicted and placed on trial. He's guilty of ignoring an appellate court ruling that set a statute of limitations on the case. He granted a summary judgment against Trump of $250,000 before the process of determining the fine began. He and his staff are hardcore Democrats. They have made political contribution to the Democratic Party against the rules of conduct for judges and their law clerks. Additionally, the biased judges turned against Trump's ability to speak, ruled against his ability to speak his mind, and has prevented his attorneys from pointing out the ridiculous nature of the charges. I mean, it is outrageous. It's not up to the courts to determine the value of property given as collateral for bank loans, but by the banks. I mean, how absurd. Meanwhile, we have San Francisco clearing homeless camps ahead of an international summit. San Francisco official reportedly cleared out areas of the city occupied by homeless camps and public drug markets before top world leaders and CEOs and tens of thousands of other attendees arrive at the Bay Area for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. APEC, known as the Super Bowl of World Economics, is holding a 2023 leader meeting in San Francisco this year between November 11th and November 17th. So it's taking place as I speak. It includes leaders of 21 countries and nations, including Biden, Trudeau, Chinese President Xi Jinping. So they have cleaned up San Francisco. Meanwhile, and this is the Babylon Bee, Newsom assures the homeless they can resume pooping on the sidewalk once his boss leaves. San Francisco, California. Governor Gavin Newsom initiated a last-minute cleanup of San Francisco ahead of a visit from Chinese communist dictator President Xi. He assured all unhoused persons in the area they may resume the normal practice of sidewalk defecation as soon as his boss had left town. Please, we need to try and keep the place clean for just a few days while my boss is here, he said in a press conference, surrounded by a horde of angry homeless people. Please don't mess it up for me and President Xi. I really want to impress him. Please hold it in for a couple of days. Just clench or something. After that, you may poop to your heart's content. Thank you. Please, he added, if I play my cards right, save me even let me become president. This is huge for me. The Babylon Bee demonstrate again that satire is telling and rooted in truth. Meanwhile, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass announces a plan to master lease hotels for consolidating homeless encampments. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass recently issued an order allowing the use of residential hotel rooms typically reserved for low-income, disabled, and elderly residents as temporary shelters for the homeless. This move, part of the Inside Safe initiative, aims to address the city's homeless crisis by providing immediate shelter, despite potentially conflicting with a 2008 city law designed to protect these residential units. When are the Democrats going to recognize their policies are destroying America? Here's another. I can't make this stuff up. Retailers won't let cops arrest shoplifters. We don't tell big retail how to do their job. They should tell us how to do ours. Target, a retailer that's long been socially progressive to the point of promoting controversial alternative lifestyle choices, has been in the headline recent months for these actions. It happened because of its extreme agenda to promote the transgender ideology with its display of clothing designed for the transgender lifestyle choice. The move resulted in negative feedback from a large portion of America. Then, as NPR reported, it backed down, generating negative feedback this time from the extremists in the LGBT community. That was because it had moved some merchandise celebrating Pride Month from store shelves or to the back of the store. Meanwhile, they're now facilitating and allowing shoplifting to take place. Jim Cooper tweets, I can't make this stuff up. Recently, we tried to help Target. Our property crime detectives in segment were contacted numerous times by Target to help them with shoplifters, most of whom were known transients. We coordinate with them and set up an operation with them, but I can't make it up. They at the briefing, we were told by their head of security, we could not contact suspects inside the store. We could not handcuff suspects in the store. And if we arrested someone, they want us to process them outside behind the store. In other words, they're going along with facilitating. Meanwhile, and this is horrific, moment, boy is punched to the ground after trying to save friend Jonathan Lewis, 17, beaten to death by a pack of bullies in Las Vegas, trying to defend another student. What they don't explain is the boy who was beaten to death was white, while the gang who attacked him was black. Just disgusting. Meanwhile, special hearings are taking place on injuries caused by the COVID vaccine. And we'll have more about that right back after this break.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the doors.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
In a rather striking development, Dr. David Martin has called for the dismantling of the World Health Organization for Crimes Against Humanity and Bioterrorism by promoting the pandemic and the vax. He's got it exactly right. I've done a huge amount of documentation. I support this 100%. Meanwhile, as we approach the 60th observance of the assassination of JFK on the 22nd, the conferences, because the 22nd falls in the middle of the week, are being held mostly this weekend, for example, in Dallas. And some interviews are being promoted. There's one about, for example, with a fellow by the name of James Files, and I'm giving you a link to this interview. Files claims to have been the shooter on the grassy knoll behind the picket fence. Now, let me say, I have long since engaged with Files. I treated him to dinner at a local steakhouse with his wife. They published three books about assassination, claiming he was the shooter who fired the shot that entered Jack's right temple, actually, and killed him. Though, of course, the government continues to insist all the shots were fired from above and behind, which is simply ludicrous. As I pointed out on other occasions, two shots were widely reported the day of the assassination. One, a small, clean puncture wound to the throat, which Malcolm Perry, MD, three times described to the assembled audience during the Parkland press conference as a wound of entry. And the other, a bullet that entered the right temple and blew his brains out the back of his head, attributed to Admiral George Berkeley, the president's personal physician, on radio and television that day. If you go and look at NBC, see it now. You'll see them reporting these two wounds, both of which were fired from in front. Which I think is one reason why the American people subconsciously were very disturbed when a year later the Warren Commission came out with its report and said all the shots had from above and behind. Well, the House Select Committee reinvestigated in 1977-78, published its final report in 79, and suggested based on acoustical evidence that there'd been a second shooter behind the picket fence. Files emerges to cast himself in that role. Now, I like the guy tremendously. We hit it off famously at dinner, but he made an observation twice during our conversation that stuck with me. Namely, once the government takes out position, it's wired in. It's in concrete. It'll never change. It's stuck with a position. And the position it's had is one that he has been filling the role of the second shooter, but it's provable that he is actually following a script. Right back to take your calls.
I just need someone to love. Could this be anybody? I want somebody to love.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.